Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's absolutely great to be here this week. And today I'm super excited because we're having a great conversation all about branding. My guest today is Lou Marks and she comes from BrandedX.com.au. And we're going to be talking all about what a brand is, what a brand isn't, why you might want to think about one, what's a company brand versus a personal brand. And we're going to be giving you some strategies to think about as you go about building your brand, whether it's communication strategies, positioning strategies, and a whole heap more. Now, as I'm recording this, we are in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that means that many dental practices around the world are either not operational at all or under restricted practice. So here at Savvy Dentist, we are super committed to helping all dentists make the best of this situation. Our goal and our role is to help dental practices come through this pandemic better and stronger than ever before, and really create a platform to come out of this and fuel their growth into the future. So what we've done, which is super exciting, is many of you will know we have the Savvy Dentist Academy, and we are now creating a COVID-19 slimmed down version of the Academy where we're going to be providing access to some of our resources to help you get through this pandemic. So things like monthly training sessions, some of the training that we're doing for team members and so on and so forth, we are providing that absolutely free. Now, it's not the full academy, but it is a COVID-19 version of the academy, and we will keep that open for as long as the pandemic runs. And that's our commitment to the profession, our commitment to helping you guys get through this situation as easily and as painlessly as possible so that you can come out the other side better and stronger than ever before. To access that, all you need to do is to create a free account. So head across to SavvyDentistAcademy.com/SDA free. Once again, head across to SavvyDentistAcademy.com/SDA free and join up, get a free account, come and join us there. We'll also add you to our Facebook group so you're going to be able to get access to the questions and answers and the things that we do there, and we'd love to welcome you there. But for now, I'd really like to introduce you to our guest, Lou Marks, as we talk all about branding. Lou Marks, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us at the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have you. How are you today?
I am amazing. Honored to be here, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, the pleasure is mine. I've been looking forward to talking to you for a long period of time, and we've obviously had a bit of a conversation off air, and I'm really fascinated to see which ground we cover today, because I know you've got a lot of background in branding, you've got a lot of background in business, and I'm curious to unpack all of that today. Before we do get into this, now your company is brandedx.com.au, and I'm curious to understand your background and what led you to launch that business.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. I landed here by accident, like most people finding their flow. They land there by mistake. So prior to this, I worked with Kerwin Ray, which most people know. He's an Australian business educator and transformational growth expert. And through his business, I led the marketing team. But prior to that, I actually came on board with Kerwin from an editorial point of view because my background is in media. So I spent the last 10 years in broadcast radio, in television journalism, and in newsrooms around Australia and New Zealand, and magazines actually for that matter as well. So my passion has always been around storytelling, around communication, and around connecting people with the right messages that, you know, resonate and propel them forward. So that was really in line with what Kerwin was doing. And yeah, we sort of grew his team. And last year I went on maternity leave to have my first beautiful little baby girl. Yay. And I found that, you know, people were still coming to me to ask questions. And I thought, you know what, let's just go out and do this on my own. And I'm still working with Kerwin, which is amazing. And yeah, helping other businesses in the process, which is really awesome.
Fantastic. So that's a really rich and diverse background. Firstly, congratulations on becoming a mum. Hope you're getting some sleep amongst all that, because it's, you know, having a baby and a business is a bit of a handful.
Yeah, pretty dumb timing on my part, I'm not going to lie. I may have been a bit ambitious there, but we're muddling through.
Yeah, bite off a lot and chew like crazy, right? So I want to start the conversation around brand, because we hear the word brand a lot. We understand the language, or we hear the language around brand strategy, brand stories, all this sort of stuff. But there's plenty of people listening to this podcast who, A, will think that they have a good understanding of brand, but maybe not quite sure about it at the same time. So from your perspective, could you just tell us a working definition of what a brand really is?
Sure. Look, Jesse, to go there, I probably need to address what a brand isn't.
Okay.
Because that's what most people seem to understand. Now, businesses that I work with seem to think that a brand is a logo.
Yeah.
It's a color palette. It's a font type, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is maybe your website. But for the most part, what we find is that people believe branding is their visual identity.
Yeah.
So how they look. Now, that is definitely a part of the brand, but it is one very, very small part of the brand. And your brand identity is actually the visual component of how your wider brand is expressed. So branding is made up of a couple of different things. The first thing is your positioning. So that's where your company sits in the market, and we can talk about what's involved in your positioning. And then we look at your brand architecture, which is all of the elements that make up who you are and why you matter. So these are things like your core brand messaging, you know, your brand promise, your brand values, your brand purpose, what you stand for, and really how you deliver value. So it's a little bit logic and it's a little bit emotion, and it's really just the place where you sit in the minds and the hearts of customers, but it's a complex philosophy, I guess, branding. But if you look at somebody like Apple or Coke and you ask what is their brand, it is the entirety of who they are and why they matter.
Yeah.
And that can be quite an individual thing, Jesse, in terms of how I see your brand and how somebody else sees your brand might be a completely different interpretation. So your job is to get that as cohesive as possible.
Yeah, lovely. So there's consistency all the way through. Now, you've mentioned Coke and Apple, and I must confess I'm an Apple fanboy. I'm recording this on my Mac as we speak. And I'm curious to ask that, because there'll be people who go, yeah, I totally get Coke, I totally get Apple, but I'm running a dental practice down the road in, you know, suburb of whichever city they're in, or whichever town they're in. Does that really matter for me?
Sure. Well, I think as long as you solve the need of a large and sustainable population, then your brand is relevant. And just as all business operations go, you know, when it comes to sales, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to any of those other parts of your business, you know, how much effort do you want to put into that? Is sales applicable to your business?
Of course they are, yes.
Yeah, right. Is marketing applicable to
your
business?
Of course it is, yeah.
Is customer service applicable to your business?
Everything.
Exactly. So we look at brand as business approach, which is all of those operational facets is part of your brand. It's how you deliver those services. So I would say, you know, do you want to be the Apple of dentistry in Canberra?
We would. And that's why our business is called Bespoke Dental, because it's handcrafted, handmade. It's not taking such a mass market approach, but it's taking a unique approach to each individual patient, and that's why we're called Bespoke Dental.
I love that. That's amazing. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter how big you are. I think as long as you're in business, then your brand is your business, far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And my next question then is, where does the business brand and the personal brand intersect? Because again, you'll see different clinicians trying to build a personal brand, and where do they coexist with the business brand, or are they just one and the same?
Look, I think that that's quite an important question that each individual needs to ask themselves, because that's where you see your business long term. So if you have a personal brand, that might be really, really successful from a business point of view in relation to your customers, but it might not have the like if you want to sell your brand in the next 5 years, is it great to be a personal brand? Probably not. Yeah. So I think that that's a question of personal brands are amazing and they're gaining a lot of traction. And I think that it's only going to get bigger and bigger as we move to new models of business. But if you're not in it for the long run, probably rethink having a personal brand.
Yeah, got it. So someone might be listening to this and say, okay, that sounds really interesting. I get that I need to be conscious that A, I need a brand. B, I understand that, you know, I'm serving people and it's going to be an all of business approach. How do I get started? What are the things I need to be thinking about as I'm embarking on this journey?
That is such a good question. Where we begin is positioning. So you might have heard that word toyed around with a little bit. It's quite corporate.
It is, but it's important.
It is, yeah. You hear a lot of bigger corporate organizations talk about positioning, but basically positioning is where you sit in the marketplace, right? So if you imagine a ladder, like a ladder that you would climb up, right? Mm-hmm. It's got all of the rungs on it. And if we're talking about, like we mentioned Coke before, so let's go with fizzy drink. The ladder is called fizzy drink and each rung of the ladder has a fizzy drink on it. Now, Coke is up the top. Pepsi is the next one down because they position themselves as second to Coke very cleverly. So they're always in second spot. Mm-hmm. And then the list goes down. You know, you might have Fanta, you might have Sprite, so on and so forth. Now, most businesses want to be at the top of the ladder, right? Because it's who, if you think of fizzy drink, who do you think of first, Jesse?
Coke, of course.
Yeah, right. Cool. So they're at the top of the ladder. So that's how customers think about everything. The brain organizes information like a ladder system because there is just so much going on in the human brain. So the way that they cope with that amount of information is just to simply categorize everything. So how do we get to the top of the ladder is the big question, and that is positioning. And your positioning is made up of a few different criteria elements. So your category, which is the industry you're in, for you, you're a dentist. Your community, which is your core target market. Now, these are the most important people to your business, and it's so important that you understand who these guys are, what their beliefs are, what their values are, how they like to spend their time, their most important, I guess, their challenges, their pain points, all that sort of stuff. To create a customer avatar, that's a really important step you can take, but also looking at outside of your core target market, who else is in your community? So who influences your target market? That's really important. So you influence dentists. So you're becoming, you know, part of that wider community. And not only that, other coaches, entrepreneurs, media sources, people that you can align your message with who has similar values as well. So your community is a big part of that.
Yeah, I love that. Can I just come back to Pepsi for a second? Because you said something that really piqued my interest. You said Pepsi had positioned themselves as number two to Coke, and that was very clever. Why was that clever? I think I've got my own opinions on that, but I'd love to hear your views on it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not in the mind of Pepsi, but what I imagine is that they knew that Coke had the market share. They knew that there is absolutely no point going up against Coke and trying to win that top spot.
Yep.
Coke had too much ground, right?
Yep.
So if we can't be number one, we're going to be number two.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They've kind of almost conceded first position and then they're going for the best of the rest, right?
Yep, exactly.
Got it.
And they've maintained that. They've stayed there the whole time. So it's clearly been a clever strategy for them.
Yeah, no, I like that. It's just really clever. And I think there's something in that for people to think about as well. All right, so we've got the ladder, we've got the community, we've got the other elements that, you know, go into that, and we're talking about categorization and so on and so forth. Where do you think people need to go beyond that? What's the, again, we spoke about positioning as the first step. What's next?
Okay, cool. So positioning has a few different criteria. So you've got your customers, your competition, context, what's happening in the world around you that you can align with to make sure your business is relevant. A few different things there. And then once you've got your positioning nailed, so that's essentially who you are, why you matter, and who you matter to, you can develop a positioning statement, which is really just an internal guiding compass. So you know when you're making business decisions that it must, I guess, align with your best, where you sit in the market.
Yep.
You're not going out of scope, so to speak. Then we look at brand architecture, which is all of the great parts of your brand, the things that you do really well naturally, your greatest strengths and talents, and we look at how to maximize that. These are, you know, things that we would look at for your marketing going forward. And I mentioned some of these things to you, I think, offline. So that would be your company purpose. Mm-hmm. What is your company purpose? What are your company values? Mm-hmm. What is your brand driver? What moves your brand forward? What are your strategic pillars? You know, what are some of the things that you do in order in your membership, Jesse, that is part and parcel of the delivery of the education you give every single dentist practice? There's going to be things that's unique to your business that makes you who you are that nobody else does in their practice.
Yeah, totally.
That's all part of your brand.
Okay. So this is really interesting. Do people intuitively get this right, or do they have to really work at it and be deliberate about it? Or does what I'm trying to ask, I guess, is do people ever succeed with this unconsciously, or do they succeed through conscious effort?
Good question. You know what? I think some people actually do succeed unconsciously because they have a vision so strong and they're so aligned to that vision that they just don't lose sight. You know, they don't need to think about what are my company values because they already know what their values are. They would never waver from them. Yep. You know, they know what their purpose is.
Yep.
They know what they're here to do, and nothing will stop them from doing that. They've created a movement around their brand. And it's not often that we see that because, you know, those are people usually in extreme creative genius and flow.
Yep.
A lot of us have to work really hard to figure out who we are and why we matter and then learn how to communicate that, right?
Yep.
So there's definitely steps that people can take to learn that. But there are some people that just are naturally great at steering their vision forward.
Yeah, love that. So where do people make mistakes with this? I understand that, you know, there are obviously great brands. We've spoken about Coke. We've spoken about Apple as really strong brands. Can you give us an example of where a brand has either shot itself in the foot or some examples where people in smaller businesses go wrong with their branding?
Yeah, sure. Look, I don't think it's a small business, big business problem. I think the biggest problem that brands have is that they're not willing to innovate. They're not willing to change with the times and move forward. Now, a great example of that would be Kodak cameras.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, right? So they had the dominance of the entirety of the camera market, the film market, for many, many years, decades, right? And online started to come about, digital started to come about, and, well, no, we're Kodak. We don't need to do anything differently. And we're a Kodak now.
Well, they're gone. It's like Blockbuster, really, isn't it?
Blockbuster. Such a good example, Jesse. So, yeah, and we're going to see it with everything, with cinemas, with, you know, Netflix coming out. And Foxtel is another interesting one that I'm watching very closely.
Oh yeah, I've got my own Foxtel as well. I'm not sure how they're going to fare, to be honest with you. But we'll see.
I know. I'm rooting for them. I'm like, guys, shake it up. But yeah, they're very slow and clunky. And that's, I think, something that smaller businesses have an advantage over than larger ones is they're not as clunky. They can be nimble. They can make fast decisions. They don't necessarily have to go through this long chain of command to make change.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, exactly. There's some huge advantages in being small and nimble, as you say, being agile. So in today's world, we are recording this, and I'm trying not to talk about coronavirus because I think we've spoken about that endlessly. But do you think during periods like coronavirus, just using this as an example, brands need to be pivoting, brands need to be refining their message, changing their message? Do you, you know, if your brand is this, do you just keep hitting that same message, or do you tweak around the edges to make it more relevant to the times?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jesse. There's two things I'll say to that. You first have to identify what's a trend and what's a movement, what is a global change. So with a trend, you want to be really careful what you do jump on board with because trends are fast, right? They come, they go. And if you align everything with a certain trend, you're going to be out. You know, you're going to be fish and chip paper, aren't you?
Yep.
You're not going to last. Something like coronavirus is, it's going to change the way we do things indefinitely and long term.
Yeah.
So if you don't pivot right now, you will get left behind.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say, you know, bang on about coronavirus, because I reckon you're right. People will probably get sick of that. But it's about, how do I make my products and services available to people in a new way, given the current circumstances?
Yeah, and that comes back to relevance, right?
Absolutely. You have to remain relevant.
Yeah. So there'll be dental practices listening to this, and they'll be wondering about, how do I communicate in a time such as this? And again, I have my own thoughts around that, but how do you communicate your message in a way that's consistent with who you are at your core, but also being empathetic and sensitive to the conditions of the market at the present time? You know, what sort of advice would you be giving dentists around their communication strategy right now?
Yeah, look, I think first and foremost, this is a mindset game. So,
amen. Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah, it's all in your head, and you've got to make a real decision on how you want to show up right now. Do you want to be an authority in your field? Do you want to stand up as a leader? Do you understand that you have the power and ability to, at a time like this, educate, inspire, you know, provoke real change and action? And if you understand that you have that ability, then you're primed to be in a situation where people will look to you because they believe in what you're saying. You know, we can click on any headline for fear and panic. That's easy to do. But what is few and far between is people standing up and actually being an authority in their field, positioning themselves as leaders and saying, look, guys, here's what you can do. So I would say that that would be the first thing in a communication strategy, is to go in with the right mindset and to be as solutions focused as possible.
Yeah. Again, I really appreciate that, because what I'm finding in the dental space as well, and I just, not for one minute do I want to diminish the difficulties that many businesses around the country are experiencing, or around the world are experiencing. And I certainly don't want to diminish what dental practices are going through at the moment. But my observation is that the vast majority have gone into their shell a little bit. The vast majority have, or a significant majority, I should say, have thought that, you know, this is out of my hands, therefore I'm at the effect of everything and all those sorts of things. And I really, my message to everyone has been to understand that there is a lot of things that you can do, and let's focus on the things that we can do. Let's get out and communicate with our patients. Let's make sure we preserve our goodwill in our practice by reaching out and having a lot of outbound communication, whether it's audio, video, whatever it happens to be. But of course, getting that messaging right is key as well. So can I ask you, with respect to messaging specifically, are there components that you think should be in every message, or are there components that you might just kind of tweak and refine? What I'm asking really is, what should people be talking about? And we're talking about being solutions focused, I get it. But there'll be people who'll be saying, well, what's that mean? How do I do that?
Yeah, yeah. What does that actually look like?
Yeah.
Yeah, good question. I call it service-based value. So your communications right now should all be around, how can I serve and how can I add value? Yep. And you touched on some of those things in terms of, is it videos, is it blogs and stuff like that? But can they do a webinar? Can they jump on a webinar? Like, if I can't get to the dentist, how am I supposed to clean and look after my teeth?
That's exactly right.
You know, like, could you give me some cost-cutting tips so that when I do finally get to the dentist in 3 months' time, it's not going to cost me $10,000 because I've let my dental hygiene go by the wayside?
Yeah, exactly right. And that's, in actual fact, you've picked the example we've been working with exactly. That is how to maintain good oral health in, you know, a period of, I don't want to use the word lockdown because they're not there, but yeah, in a period of isolation. And I think that's exactly right. So, Lou, I want to ask you, when it comes to branding and when it comes to, I guess, marketing in general, what do you see as the most interesting things occurring at the moment? Where do you find fascination in that world?
What I'm finding is there is a huge move towards business and life combined. And what I mean by that is, we've traditionally looked at business being really separate and then life being, you know, family, kids, spouse, you know, we do things on the weekend. And because of this digital movement, you know, you and I are doing this podcast online. We're in completely different places around the country. Yeah. Other people are connecting from all around the globe. And what that means is there's not those traditional barriers of 9 to 5 going to the office necessarily. We're able to work from home. and deliver our services in new and innovative ways. So the restrictions around that, there's twofold things. There's going to be a mindfulness health movement because we're going to have to learn what are our boundaries now that we don't have traditional workplaces.
Yeah.
But also B, I actually have the ability to get a whole lot of work done from 4 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then I've got the rest of the day to be with my family. But the documentation of that from a marketing point of view, Jesse, is so incredible because businesses are now highlighting their entire days on Instagram.
Yeah.
And mapping out this way of life. So I not only know, Jesse, how to clean my teeth because of you, I also know, you know, what you're doing with your exercise regime and how important family life is to you. So your brand now becomes your way of life. And I think it's a really beautiful and authentic thing that we're starting to see from businesses dropping down those traditional walls, becoming a little bit more vulnerable with their audience and delivering more authentic content because they're documenting their days rather than marketing it like we've seen, which is just, you know, a lot of the times that real fake feeling around it.
Yeah, I love that. It's really, I think, a fascinating time in the world of marketing because I'm old enough to remember the beginnings of the internet. I'm old enough to remember, you know, when people first went online, the dial-up modems, all those sorts of things. And obviously the pace of change has accelerated since then and really rapidly in the last 3-5 years or so. Where do you see marketing going over the next 3 to 5 years and branding as a subset of that?
Wow, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think if I had that, I would be so much richer than I am now. But look, I think we have to look at the trends, and it's like anything else. As I mentioned to you, mindfulness, now that's going to be the world's largest industry by 2030 because look at the world around us. We're all getting sick. We're unwell. Climate change, you know, is happening. The planet is not in a great place, let's be honest. The human race is not in a great place. And what we're going to find is because of that, massive amounts of changes, more than what's happening now with coronavirus. People are going to move out of metro cities. They're going to create different communities. Yeah. You know, we're going to go back to home growing fruit and veg. So I think, where are we going with marketing? I think it's hard to say, but I truly believe that if you can adapt to what's happening right now and be a fast adapter, not be a slow, clunky one, you're going to be there in 10 years, in 15 years when it all looks really differently.
Yeah, lovely. So again, be nimble, be agile, be ready to adapt to changing circumstances. All right, so you've been really, really generous with your time today, Luna. I'm so grateful to you and thank you. We've got a couple of resources that I'd like to share with the audience. Firstly, I know you've got a download, which is called How Great Brands Win. And I'd really encourage the listeners to get a hold of that because what that download is going to do is going to allow you to see the lessons of great brands and take those lessons into your own business. So head across to Lou's website, which is brandedx.com.au to get that. And equally, if you wanted to get a free mini brand strategy with Lou, I'd really encourage you to do that because I think getting this right is really key and getting some thoughts around how to make sure your brand is authentic, make sure it's moving in the right direction is going to be super, super valuable. Lou, I do have one last question that I'd like to ask you just before we do. I'll let you get on with your day and see your lovely daughter and all those things. I wanted to ask you, who do you think in the world does the whole marketing branding thing better than anyone else? We've spoken about Coke, we've spoken about Apple, and then simultaneously, if you could have a barbecue or some sort of dinner party, some sort of social gathering, which of those people or brands would you have around your table for a good and interesting conversation?
Wow. You know how to challenge me, don't you, Jesse? That's hard. The first brand that came to mind, though, when you said that was Nike.
Yeah.
Because Nike has created a movement. And I think that if anybody can take one thing away from this conversation, it's not about all of these components of branding that we've spoken about, although they are so helpful from a strategy point of view. It's not about, you know, how smart and clever you are with your marketing. It's about how can you create a movement around your vision. And Nike has done that so well. That tick, you see that tick? And you don't need to hear the words, just do it. You know that you're empowered to be a champion or an athlete or feel a certain way when you wear those shoes or put on that top. And I think that we should all be striving for that in our businesses, to make people feel a certain way when they see or interact with our brand. And I'd love to know some of the tactics that they use to get their brand to that point.
Yeah.
It would have to be them.
Okay. Awesome. Lou, thank you once again for coming to hang with us at Savvy Dentist Podcast. You've been tremendously generous and fun and interesting, engaging and warm. And look, we want to just salute you for the work that you do. And we're looking forward to catching up with you again shortly. We'd love to have you back and talk more.
Thank you, Jesse. It's been an honor. And you are definitely pioneering in your space. It's incredible to see what you're doing. And yeah, just to echo what you were saying about that positive vibe that you're putting out, it isn't going unnoticed. So thanks for bringing that to the world.
Thank you so much. You're a gem.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.